This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
So at Switchboard, you're seeing impacts from the religious speech debate. What sort of impacts are you finding?
Yeah, look, we're definitely seeing that there's high levels of anxiety amongst our community about what this current legislation or raft of legislations as it is, is going to look like. However, I think what's important is to recognise that this is not in isolation, as our community understands that, but it's actually the culmination. I would say the anxiety in the community is a culmination of a range and ongoing campaigns that have been about our lives being completely in the public domain. And I think, you know, whether we go back to safe schools, the campaign for marriage equality, the birth certificate reform here in Victoria, where we saw in the month of August an article every week in The Australian that was anti-transgender, you know, all those things together are raising the anxiety and poor mental health outcomes in our community. And we're absolutely seeing that in the contacts that are coming to our service. In fact, in March this year, it was the highest ever on record contacts to the Q Life National Service. And I think that shows that, you know, far from that, people are finding that marriage equality is solving, I guess, the mental health. There was sort of an expectation, I think, that after marriage equality, we would see a decrease in contacts to the service, but, you know, far from it, actually, we're seeing an increase. And I think that speaks to the campaigns that are being run publicly and definitely the religious freedom debate.
And so Q Life is sort of an afternoon, evening service. When are you finding that Q Life is busiest?
I would say that it's just constantly busy. In fact, sometimes it's hard for people to get through. And, you know, that's something we're always working on. And we always say to people, if you can't get through, just keep trying. You will be able to get through. Mm-hmm. We can't always predict the spikes of that people will contact us in. But I would say that different people call at different times.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, calling at 3 p.m. in the afternoon really suits people because they've just finished work, or they're about to start night work, or they're coming home from school, or, you know, it just really depends. And people later at night might be calling because that time suits them. I'd say there's no particular time that we would say is sort of a high peak time.
And the reasons why people are calling, have they changed?
I don't think they've changed since 1991 when Switchboard started, really. I think that always, in 1991, look, we had a lot of calls of people talking about, as you can imagine, HIV, AIDS, social isolation, relationship breakdown, family issues. And I'd say those issues are still there today. And we've always had for 28 years people talking about suicide and mental health. And I think some of the drivers might have changed over time, meaning that the different kind of sort of, if you will, hate campaigns have changed over time. Mm-hmm. And the health issues in our community, like HIV, has changed over time and our responses to it. But I think there is still people who are calling about all those reasons. And I think that just speaks to the fact that we still have a long way to go as a community. And for as long as the community needs us, we're going to be here as Switchboard doing this work.
And when should someone call Switchboard?
I think that...
Or Q-Life.
Yeah. So at Switchboard, we work nationally as part of Q-Life, and we're the Victorian partner in Q-Life. People call for so many reasons. Actually, the other day I went out and I asked people, why do you think people call? And this guy put up his hand and said, well, I called the other day because I had huge anxiety with exams at university, and I just really needed to talk to somebody, and I really wanted to talk to someone who was queer. And I was like, that's a reason. Like, that's a really legit reason. And I think that's really important, is people can call for whatever is actually making them feel like they want to speak to someone. Like every day we speak to people who have disabilities, as an example, who don't have a lot of opportunity to get out, and older people who are in the same situation. So if it's about, some people talk to us when they call us, it's the only person they've spoken to all day. And that's a legit reason to ring. And I think also if you are feeling suicidal, that's a reason to ring. If you are having troubles with your partner, or you just want to talk about like what's going on there, that's a reason to ring. Like, we train our volunteers to respond to a range of issues, and that includes suicidality, family violence, family breakdown, you know, conversion therapy. Like, there's so many things, but whatever reason, it's about you. It's about if you need to talk to somebody, then that's the only reason. And you don't need to feel like your issue isn't urgent enough, which I really want to stress with people, because I think people get into this like, I don't want to take up the line because there might be someone more urgent. If you want to, if it's urgent for you, it's urgent for us, and we want to hear from you.
Yeah. So when someone calls QLife on 1-800-184-527, what happens? The phone rings, and then what?
I believe they say, as someone who doesn't work on the phone but have sat in the phone room, they say, you know, welcome to QLife. And from there, you know, it might be a range of kind of like whatever the volunteer has to say might be, why are you calling tonight? What would you like to talk about? And that can just from there, it can be whatever the person wants to talk about. And in fact, I've heard some stories where people have just sat in silence with each other on the phone, like where the caller has said, I just want to sit with somebody. And that's fine too. I've also heard about how one of our volunteers has sung to somebody on the phone. Now, I cannot guarantee that you'll get that response, because the volunteer was actually a musician. So I'm really not promising that in any way, and don't want to put that on our volunteers. But I do want to say is that, you know, they're an amazing group of people that are up for talking to you. And so, you know, I think that that's really important to remember, that they want to speak to you.
And if someone wants to support Switchboard, what are ways that you're looking to receive support from the community?
Yeah, like we rely on donations from the LGBTIQA+ community. I mean, it's really our community that are the ones who dig deep and donate money. And we have people who have become regular donors. And of course, that's a great way to do it, because it sort of gives us a bit more assurance about the money that's going to come in every month. You know, we do get federal funding, and we do get
you can
grants
make a donation
and project money here and there, but
website,
it's actually the donations that carry
through
that through.
You can find a link
because it means that
account.
You can also make donations.
We know that
social media,
we can
Facebook
do that additional
work,
and all of that is very
and
welcome.
Provide additional support,
and of course, we're a deductible gift recipient charity. So if you make a donation to us, it is tax deductible.
Switchboard is clearly under a lot of pressure and has a service that's finding a lot of use, the community's finding quite useful. Are you looking at approaching state government perhaps for more funding?
Actually, the state government gave us a recent grant, a recent additional funding, one-off additional funding, and that was due to the birth certificate reform. And the fact, the role that we played in that, like leading up to the birth certificate reform for transgender people here in Victoria, you know, we received a lot of people who called us, even some people who just called us on the night saying, has the bill passed? Has the bill passed? And so we, you know, and that was a real increase in contacts to our service. And the state government recognised that and did give us additional funding, which we are extremely grateful for. But I guess at the end of the day, it's not what we'd call recurrent funding. So it's sort of like pockets of money that we're very grateful for, but it's not that ongoing baseline money, which is very difficult when you're a mental health organisation to not have that sort of reliant base money.
Yeah, it's sort of like you can pay, you know, bills this month, but you can't plan for growth necessarily.
Yeah, it's really difficult, I think, to sort of, I mean in some ways that's really what my job is as a CEO, is to be thinking about how do we go forward and how do we how do we grow? I mean, I think we are not in a position where we can go 24 hours, but I think if we did go 24 hours, there would be the need for it. So I think that, you know, that's something that I'm thinking about, and how can we make that stuff happen in a long-term way?
Yep.
Mm.
How can you... So let's switch to talking about individuals and supporting each other. So this is clearly a really challenging time for the LGBTIQA plus community. What can you do to support your friends that might be struggling?
Yeah, I think it's really important. One thing that people can sort of do straight up is to share the contacts of Switchboard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things I find when I go out into community and speak and provide training, as I do from time to time, or our staff do, is that I realize that people still say, I wish I'd known about this service. And people say to me, I wish I'd known about this service 2 or 5 years ago. And I think, well, we've been around 28 years. So I think one thing that people can do is letting people know that there is a service
mm-hmm.
that's there for them. I think also on our website, a great place to start for the religious freedom is we've produced a resource, which is a poster about self-care. And I think that's sharing that with people is, you know, a great way to start the conversation about looking after yourself. And on that poster, it talks about things that you can do to, I guess, look out for yourself and us as a community. That didn't really make sense.
if you want to rephrase that, start over, whatever.
I think it's really important during this time to talk about self-care, because it is really stressful. And I think that there is a real barrage of like negative media going on, and that can really play out in the media and social media. And in our self-care resource, which is available on our website, we really try and address like other things you can do to look after yourself. And I think you need, you know, to do that collectively is important to do that with a friend. I think, you know, one way is we talk about just simple things like going outside.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and getting out there in the sunshine. There's a huge amount of research. And as the weather's getting warmer, it's a bit more inviting. There's a lot of research to show around our mental health that sunshine is really important, that being out in the outdoors and having that perspective on life is really important. I mean, every morning I ride to work at Switchboard, and I just personally try and really live that self-care, and so do our staff, because I think it is really important that you don't just kind of lock yourself into that negativity of first thing in the morning waking up and looking at social media and looking at the negativity, and then getting into like trams or cars in closed environments, and then looking at the social media again, and what all you're hearing is how bad things are. So I think some of the things there are, yeah, getting outdoors first thing in the morning, and not having your phone is the first thing that you look at in the morning. You know, not waking up to Andrew Bolt and Miranda Devine and, you know, like The Australian. Because I think, you know, people share those articles because they're so outraged, but a lot of the time they're just not worth reading. And so I think, you know, putting your own boundaries around looking at that kind of information. I know personally for myself, where I'm very aware, I know it affects me, and I'm already aware of like how sort of useless those debates are to read. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a good place to start. I think you need to have social connection, and that's something that Switchboard is really focused on, is social connection and connecting people to community. I think thinking about things, you know, catching up with a friend, if you're not somebody who wants to necessarily go out to a trivia night or, you know, an event, you know, at DT's or the Laird or Sundaylicious. If you don't want to do those things, thinking about, well, what is the thing for me that is about social connection and actually seeing people in person, I think makes a real difference. So it's catching up one-on-one with friends or looking for events that work for you. I think you need to think about sleep and getting enough sleep. There's a lot of evidence around that too, about actually trying to aim for that 8 hours a night or plus. And that might mean about not looking at your social media for an hour before you go to bed and reclaiming that time and going to bed. Trying to wind your brain down, trying to digital detox your brain before you go to sleep so you don't dream about the things you've been reading on social media. I think all of that is really important. And doing that together, like I think we all do these things better if we encourage each other to do it. So having a conversation with a friend or a colleague that's supportive about how you can support each other to do those things, some of those things that I've suggested.
It reminds me a little bit of a story that, or a time in my life. So this is a bit of a journey to go on, so stick with me. So when I was in a teenager, I was in a confirmation class at my church, and we were talking to the pastor's wife about random things, and someone asked her if she ever read Stephen King novels, and she had this really funny response. And it seems so natural now, but what she said was, you know, I tried reading one once and then realized I don't need to put those images in my head. And as a teenager, I was like, whatever, lady. And now it's sort of like, yeah, I think you do need to be conscious of what you consume from the culture and, you know, protect your mind. It's like the first barrier in your mental health is, you know, am I going to traumatize myself by listening to angry voices, or am I going to get myself angry by watching Sky News at night or or something? And just being really conscious of your cultural consumption.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think there's ways that you can find out about what's going on that's supportive. And I would suggest that Joy is one of them, is a place where you're hearing about current affairs and news, but it's coming from a place of people who love the community, who are part of the community. And so the conversation is supportive, and you're not necessarily going to hear about sort of the words of those that we shouldn't be listening to. And I think, you know, obviously in my job, I have to stay politically engaged. And I'm sure many listeners want to stay politically engaged. But I think it's a way of like balancing that, and also not understanding vulnerable times and finding spaces where you do actually have some time out for it. Because I think, and understanding what your warning signs are about when enough is enough.
Yeah.
And you're so right. Like the images in your head, you know, like, and during some of that transgender debate, I mean, some of the headlines alone in The Australian, I mean, I always think it's just such a blessing that The Australian has a paywall. Like, I just feel like that's just, they've all done us a bit of a favor, you know, because it's just that, because I would have read so many more articles if there wasn't a paywall. But the headlines themselves are just, you know, they're all about clickbait, and some of the words they used about people who have gender affirmation surgery, it's just like, just goes straight through you, I think. And but I also think they've been doing it for a really long time, so we shouldn't really expect anything more. Like, you know, during, you know, what these kind of same people used to say about, you know, people who had HIV and AIDS, they would say, oh, they deserve it. And, you know, just sort of the comments, it's kind of exactly what they're saying to us now. They haven't really changed the story. They've just changed the cause, so to speak.
A way of articulating fear.
Exactly.
Of the different.
Yeah. I think about it so much about, like, you know, how obsessed some of these people are with toilets. Like, you know, thinking about the 80s and how obsessed they were with like gay men and toilets, and realizing that, you know, beat culture was nothing to be afraid of, and also was like such a minimal part of culture, but it was really, really beat up. And I think it's just like the toilet debates then have changed now to transgender women going into women's toilets. Like it's like they're still talking about toilets. They've just changed it ever so slightly.
Whereas in the late 90s and the show Ally McBeal, which has generally aged pretty poorly, they had all gender toilets, and that was just kind of the thing. And, you know, Ally McBeal had all sorts of weird things going on, but that was one of them. They had that dancing baby thing.
Yeah, I'd really forgotten about that dancing baby. Yeah, I think it's just really important to remember some of the, like, I always think that, for me personally, I always find history is really reassuring, because it just points to the fact that we've gone through these things before, and they have lost those debates. You know, like the same people who wanted to do nothing about HIV are the very same people who want to ban trans women, you know, or safe schools. Like, they've just changed the story. I mean, some of them are literally the same campaigners, if not in the same political movements and same political groups. And I think, you know, I think history shows you that, and just shows you, well, we beat them back last time. You know, we did actually fight a really important campaign to transform a health response to HIV that, you know, they in no way wanted to happen. And we beat them then, and we'll beat them again. And how we'll do it is by looking after ourselves and each other and finding ways to, you know, politically campaign that are sustainable and are about furthering and protecting our mental health. Because we can't win these campaigns. You know, part of winning the campaign is survival. I really believe that. And, you know, I think these people, they want us to have poor mental health. Like, it benefits them to have, you know, for us to be divided and unwell. And I think actually, like, self-care is a radical thing that we can do to fight back.
Reminds me of what Mark Twain once wrote or said. He said that history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. And so it may not be the exact same people, but they sure do sound similar.
Yeah, for sure. They hear the echoes of the arguments of their predecessors, as we do. And I think about that. Like, I think our predecessors, like, you know, I do a lot of campaigning around suicide prevention. Something I'm really passionate about. And, you know, what always rings in my head is Silence Equals Death, which is the ACT UP campaign. And it's like, if we don't talk about suicide in our community, you know, that is death. We have to talk about it. And I feel like that's the very same campaign we had about HIV, which is that, you know, in our silence, the policymakers get to ignore us and push us aside. So we do need to talk about it. So I think as much as they listen to the whispers of their predecessors, so do we.
I think that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah.
So contact for Q Life. It's open from 3 to midnight Melbourne time. And it's 1-800-184-527. Dobal, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.